room. So let's just pray. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. And I just want you guys to be in a receiving mode this morning. So I want you just to put your hands out and just say, Lord, I just want to receive. I just want to receive this morning, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for every man in this room that you would just move upon their hearts, Lord. Because I don't want to just talk about theology. I want to talk about men's hearts. I want to talk about your heart, Lord. I want to talk about how you want us to receive your love as sons and how you want to heal the wounds in our lives that oftentimes prevent us from really walking in all the freedom, all the victory, and to really receive all the love that we have from our Heavenly Father. So I invite you, Lord, to come now and minister this. I just pray you would fill each man up right now, Lord. Let your Spirit come. Start filling them up, that their minds would be focused on you, that they just be in an attitude of receiving, Lord. Just let all the thoughts of the plans we have today and for the weekend, and the burdens and cares of the week just wash off each man right now. That we would just be in a receiving mode, in Jesus' name. Amen. So my topic today is called Healing the Father Wound, and Ron asked me to talks and speaks something about the Father's heart. And I've talked a lot about this before, so I hope this is going to be somewhat fresh. And the reason I'm doing it is because it's really kind of become a passion in mine in the last few years. Part of it's because my wife and I, you know, went to like a week-long conference learning about the Father heart of God. But it's also because I've realized when we do so much work overseas and in the prisons that the major message people need to know is that God loves them as a father. And I find not only in our country, you know, with so many broken families, so many broken marriages, so many men and women growing up with even without even having a father in the home, that there's this incredible wound that most people carry in terms of the relationship with their fathers. They're earthly fathers. But when I go into places like Kenya, or I go into a prison, or I go into Mexico, it's actually worse. It's actually worse. Because really throughout the world, relationships between sons and daughters and their fathers are broken. And that has a lot to do with why men oftentimes struggle with their relationship with God as a father. It's like Nick was saying, you know, oh, I have this revelation that God actually is thinking about me right now. I wanted you to know that he wasn't thinking good thoughts about you, but I had that revelation. So you had a bad thought last night. He's thinking about that. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, he is thinking about us because Jesus said that God knows the number of hairs on your head. Can you imagine that? That he's in the hair counting business? Now, for some of you guys who've been losing a little hair, it might be more difficult, keeping track of the declining number of hairs, but that's how much he thinks about you. And yet for most of us, we live our lives acting like God is so distant, so out there, that he isn't really that interested in our day-to-day affairs. And so when things don't go well in our lives, the things we focus on are oh, wow, I guess God doesn't really care about me because these things are happening. I just don't have his attention. You know, I'm number 9,900,000 on the list, right?
Priority list.
I get the little number. But that's not the way God is. So anyway, I have some scriptures for you. John 14:6, I was looking last night to see what the Lord wanted to speak in terms of all the amazing scriptures about his relationship with his father. I think most of you know this one. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So I think for a lot of us in the church, you know, we've grown up knowing that scripture, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But we don't go to the next line, which is, I am the way to the Father. Jesus is the way to the Father. And that was one of his main purposes in coming to earth. It wasn't just to save us from our sin, but it was to give us access to the Father. Because going back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve lived in perfect relationship with God as their Father. You know, he walked with them in the garden. He was physically present there. And then sin came into the world, and that relationship was broken. And it was broken, really, for thousands of years until Jesus lived. And now he's restoring what was taken away. And it's kind of interesting that in the Old Testament, it hardly ever speaks of God as being a father. I mean, there's many names used for God in the Old Testament. But if you look up, just do a word study of God as a father in the Old Testament, it only comes up a few times. But then you go to the New Testament, and that's all Jesus is saying. God is my Father. And he doesn't just call him Father, he calls him Abba. Abba, which means daddy. It's a term of endearment. My daddy. And I think that's why his ministry was so controversial. They were saying, well, how could you be calling God your daddy? Because God was kind of the severe figure in many ways to the Jews of that time, you know, who needed to be pleased with offerings and sacrifices and things like that. And here's Jesus saying, no, he's my daddy. Hey, you want to know my daddy? Get to know me. Right? He said, you've seen me, now you're seeing my daddy. And one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Romans chapter 8. The whole chapter is amazing, but starting at verse 14, amazing scripture about who we are, what our identity is as sons. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. So, we all are in that same place now. Jesus said, God's my daddy. Now we can say, I have access to my daddy in heaven through the work of Jesus Christ. I think the problem with the church, at least in the last 100 years, is somehow we've kind of lost sight of the fact of how important it is to know God as a Father. And I got saved in the Jesus movement. To me, that still seems recent, but it was for me like 44 years ago. Ron knows, you were back then, right? Yeah, and it was like a radical, transformative time in the church. I mean, all these drug-smoking, hippie, counterculture people are all getting saved and going to Calvary Chapel, and they're, you know, barefoot and running the carpets and stuff. And it was like a whole change in the church culture. But it was interesting that we always called it the Jesus movement. We never called it the Father movement. We called it the Jesus movement. And it was all about Jesus, which is great. I love Jesus, of course. Jesus is God too. But what happened is that the focus was just on that part of the Trinity. Maybe the Holy Spirit thrown in too, because we wanted to see signs and wonders and stuff. But we never really talked about the Father. We never really talked about God as a Father. And as somebody said, it's almost what happened is that in the church, it's kind of like we had a stool, a three-legged stool, but only had two legs, right? You ever sit on a stool that had two legs? Not too stable. Missing a little bit there, right? Yeah, right. You got to have the third leg of the stool to make it complete and do what it's supposed to do. And see, for us as men, oftentimes we don't know how to connect with God as a Father. And so in our theology, but also in the way we live our lives, we're living in this kind of two-legged stool. And we're just wondering, why is it I can never actually just relax and sit down comfortably, because I know this thing's going to tip over, right? So I'm always going to, because I don't have the security of the third leg, because that provides the stability in our lives. And I think there is a movement now in the church, and I know you guys were here for Ed Piorek's conference in January, I hope most of you, you know, it was all about the Father's heart. And I think it's awesome, because I think, particularly with men, he's starting to help us reconnect reconnect with him as a father. And why is it that it's hard for men to do that? Well, I think about 20, 25 years ago, a guy named John Eldridge, many of you know who he is, influential speaker and writer, he wrote a book called Wild at Heart. And that was, like, to me, a transformative book when it first came out. Because it was one of the first books I read that was really just about men. And writing to us the way men think, and really looking at men in terms of, you know, who we are, how God made us to be. You know, we're supposed to have these wild hearts. We're supposed to be on an adventure. You know, we're supposed to be on a crusade. That's what men like, you know. Guys need a purpose. Guys need something to, you know, a goal to strive for. You know, we operate differently than women do. And in many ways, the church had become kind of feminized. And it's the way we approach theology and the way we approached everything. And he said, no, let's bring the masculinity back in the church. But one of the other things he talked a lot about was healing the father wound. I think other people had talked about that before, but that was a big emphasis, is healing the father wound. And what is that? Well, what it is, it's the fact that all of us, even with the best fathers, have a wound in our heart where our fathers hurt us to some degree. I mean, for some of us, that wound is gaping, right? It's just a huge gaping wound. And we've tried to, you know, sew it up, cover it up, whatever, through, you know, whatever, different things to make us feel better about ourselves and survive. But maybe 50, 60 years in our lives, we're still walking around wounded. And maybe the way we deal with the wound is through drug and alcohol addiction. Maybe it's for, you know, trying to be a success in the business world or, you know, build up an empire, whatever. But for so many men, there's this big gaping wound that they walk around with their entire lives. It's never been completely healed. Even for those of us that had relatively good fathers, there's still places in our hearts where our fathers hurt us because they weren't perfect. I mean, I would like to think that I was a pretty good father with my son, Joey, but I'm sure there were times that I did things inadvertently that hurt him. I know my dad, who, he wasn't a Christian, but he was a good guy, you know, faithfully married to my mom for 58 years. He tried. I mean, I think he had a great heart, but he wounded me because he wasn't perfect. So, you know, why is that important? How does that relate to our walk with God? Well, one of the things that we know, and I mean, I know in my own life, is that so often the way I look at God as a father is colored and influenced by the way I looked at my own father. Because I projected onto God the same qualities, the same attributes my own father had. And that's pretty natural because it's hard to conceive of a perfect father in heaven who has all the amazing qualities a father should and could have when your own father was far short of that. Or maybe you didn't even have a father growing up. And so it's pretty easy for men to start picturing God the way they pictured their own fathers. And it's because that wound, it just never really got healed. You know, with John Eldridge was talking in his book about the fact that his father, you know, when he was really young, was very successful in business. And then later, he went through difficulties in his business and became an alcoholic. And he basically kind of emotionally withdrew from his family. And so for him, the image of God he had growing up was that his dad, you know, God was distant. God withdrew. God abandoned him, emotionally abandoned him. So he had a hard time connecting with God as a God who was there for him, right? See, some of us have had different issues with dads. You know, some of us had fathers who were extremely judgmental. Some of us had fathers that had standards like here. We felt like growing up that his standard was here and I was here, right? I was never meeting his standard. Or we had fathers that were verbally abusive. You're worthless. You're never going to be anything. How many people heard that growing up? You're just a complete failure. You'll never amount to anything in life. It's amazing how many of us in this room probably heard those kind of voices growing up. How about the emotionally distant father? It's interesting for me. My father was Italian and, pretty emotional, affectionate. And he would say, he loved us. I mean, that was no problem. Our family talk about loving each other. But my dad also worked really hard to support a family of four children. And I mean, I was the youngest of the four children and probably the most different from all of them. My dad, because my brother was the big jock. My dad was a wrestling coach. He wrestled in college. He was actually a really well-known wrestler in the, I guess, college circles. And he coached wrestling for a long time, and he taught. He had, he had all these things going on, and he's trying to support a family of four children. And I come along, and I was actually a mistake because my mother had my sister a year and a half before I was born, and they thought they were done. They already had a boy and two girls. And then a mistake happened, and my mom was pregnant with me. And I didn't know this actually until I was an adult, but my mom was like extremely depressed for the first 3 months of her pregnancy with me because she didn't really want to have another child. In fact, she, made my dad get fixed. No more. That's it. I think by the time I came along, she changed her attitude, but don't you think that sometimes even things in the womb can affect you? Like maybe when your mother wasn't quite excited about you being born. And then for my dad, it was, here's another kid I got to take care of. And I was kind of quiet growing up. I was studious. And my dad was kind of loud and outgoing. He was a teacher. He loved to lecture us. You ever have a father who was a teacher? You know. You're a teacher, right? Yeah. My dad, we didn't have discussions. We had lectures at the dinner table. So I didn't always feel understood by my dad. I didn't realize this until I was an adult, but I was thinking about it. I don't think I ever really connected with him that much on that kind of emotional level. And I wish I had. But it was just because we're different personalities. He didn't know. He didn't know what was going on with me because I never told anybody. I just kept it all inside. And he didn't know how to connect with me. So I didn't have the perfect father. And so there, I had a deficit. And part of that deficit was that feeling like I wasn't understood. I was different. And then I realized when I became a Christian, many years in my Christian walk, when I would struggle with some things, I kind of got the idea that maybe God didn't understand me either, right? And then I had this other part of my personality that also was influenced negatively in my image of God, and that's extreme perfectionism and being very driven. I'm basically kind of a type A personality. And honestly, in the world of business, that is a great attribute, right? And I worked hard. I mean, I worked hard in college. I worked hard in law school. I worked hard to make my business grow. And I got all these accomplishments. By the way, when you said I was an attorney in your little blurb, you didn't say well-known attorney or famous attorney.
In my mind, just being able to be an attorney is like, wow.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Attorney's more like, ooh.
Yeah.
No.
Usually when they say Joel's an attorney, it's usually renowned attorney.
Oh, renowned.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's an honest attorney.
Oh, somebody said how could he be a Christian and an attorney? I mean, isn't that like an oxymoron? but I was a perfectionist. And a lot of that probably had more to do with my mom. Because being a Jewish, and my mother's Jewish, she was the one that was really studying that report card when it came in. When it got to me, I was the only one ever went to college in my family. So they were like, you're the one that has to carry the banner. You're the one that has to get the degree. So a lot of pressure. So I put pressure on myself, to please them. A lot of value out of being a good student and in the business world. I'm important because I'm an attorney in this law firm. But when I related to God, I started to believe the same things had to be done to please him that I had to please my parents with, and that was being perfect. Never, and you know the problem with being perfectionist is what? You're never perfect. You'll never get there. It's like you'll never get to where you're supposed to be because, you know, I could do a million good things, you know, and then the one little screw-up occurs.
It
wipes it all off. It's like I'm just starting all over again.
Then you get married.
Yeah. You really learn your imperfections. Yeah.
Then you get married.
Your imperfections are driven home every day when you're married. And you have kids and all that. So you can never succeed. In your eyes, see, everybody else thinks, oh, this guy's doing so great, you know. Got money, career. But in your own heart, you feel like a failure. Because you never quite hit the mark. And then I got saved when I was 19, and I have a relationship with God, but then I started thinking the same thing. Well, I mean, I could do all these great things. I could lead ministries. I could go overseas. I could be a missionary. I could work in prisons. I could do all this stuff. But then it was like, no matter what I did, how much I did it, how long I did it, there was part of me always felt like it wasn't good enough to please God. Right? To really get to where he wanted me to be. And that's the stuff that God is healing. He's healing that in my life. Because I'm trying now and I'm coming to an understanding of who he is as a father. And it's not just theological. Because I've read I know all these scriptures. I've known these 40 years. I know the scripture, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I know I have a relationship with the Father, but it's not what you know here. It's really what you know here. That's what's important. It's what does your heart believe, right? What do you really believe in the core of your being, you are, and your relationship with God as the Father? Because when you really know that you're loved completely by God, who knows every hair in your head and counts them, then you know that your life is in his hands. You know that everything you do is important to him. You know you don't have to get in line. You know, how God keeps track of, 7 billion people and all the animals and everything else, I don't understand it, but he does. Because he says he does. He says every person is important and every part of your life is important to him. But we live our lives so often as if that is not true. Because we don't believe it, honestly. I don't completely believe it in my heart, but I'm learning to believe it. I'm learning to believe about the goodness of God, his intentions for us, right? There's something here. I'm trying to find this scripture. Oh, this is something that Graham Cook said. Really has a lot of good teaching about the fatherhood of God. But he said, God is the nicest, most generous, most extravagant, kindest, gentlest, loving, and forgiving person you'll ever know. He is always thinking about us, always looking out for us, always wanting to bless us, always loving us, and always wanting to spend time with us. That's the kind of God we serve. So why is the father wound a big issue? Well, one of it is it does prevent us from really coming to a complete understanding of who God is. But there's another side of the coin, too, is that most men probably somewhere in their heart have unforgiveness towards their fathers, particularly the guys who grew up in very, very wounded families, very damaged families, or maybe didn't have a father in the home, or their father left when they were young, or parents got divorced, or the father was uncaring, abusive, whatever, all the things we talked about. And what I found, and what a lot of people found, is that in order to really move into that place of connecting with God as a father, there's this thing we have to do. And what's that? And we need to forgive our own fathers. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6:14? For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's a pretty heavy statement. That somehow, I totally believe, by the way, in grace, we're forgiven from the minute we accept Jesus as our Savior forever. Everything's forgiven. But then there's this thing that if we hold unforgiveness in our heart, it will damage us. It will hold us in bondage. And the interesting thing about unforgiveness is that we oftentimes think, well, that's hurting the person that we haven't forgiven, of course, because we have a grudge against them. We're holding something against them. But probably the most damaging thing about unforgiveness is really the effect on the person who holds the unforgiveness. Because you really become the prisoner of your unforgiveness. Your unforgiveness is a bondage.
Amen.
And the devil uses probably unforgiveness more than almost anything else to keep people in bondage. Because it's so easy to be unforgiving. You know, so it's so easy to live in a place of bitterness. It's so easy to live in a place of anger. Because it's just got human nature, right? It's the broken humanity. And it's very easy to slip into that of holding grudges, not letting go. And then we have our fathers. And I know a lot of your stories. I don't know all your stories, but I know a lot of your stories. And I know a lot of you had very, very damaged, broken relationships with your fathers. And I know a lot of you have already done work in terms of forgiveness. But I always think that forgiveness is a work in process. You know, oftentimes we think that forgiveness means I just say the words once. I just say it. Done. Right? It's it. But I mean, I've had bitterness towards people, and then I said, "Oh Lord, okay, I forgive them." And then I feel good for a day, and the next day I wake up and I'm like, I'm still pissed at that person, to be honest with you. Can I say that on tape? My feelings have not changed. I said the words, but I don't know if he said it here, but Jesus, another says somewhere else in the Gospels, Jesus said, you have to forgive from the heart. I think it's when Peter said, how many times can somebody sin against me? 7 times 7? He didn't say with your mouth. He didn't say just the prayer. He said you had to forgive with your heart. See? And how do you know when your heart has forgiven somebody? It's when you no longer feel any anger, hatred, or bitterness. Amen. Towards that person. That's when you know you've completed forgiveness. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to still be in relation to that person. You know, if they were like extremely abusive. But it does mean that in your heart only want good for them. Because there's people I've held grudges against. And I used to think, oh, I just hope he loses his business. You know, he screwed me over.
Isn't that a curse?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, then somehow that affects your business. I don't know what the relationship is, right? It was kind of funny. I was thinking about it. It just occurred to me, but you know, we just had an election. Did any of you know that? We just had an election this week.
Really?
Yeah.
We did?
Where?
Yeah.
Did I win?
I'm not talking about Trump. I have another issue. My congressman is a guy named Daryl Issa, and he was in a hard-fought campaign, right? Hard-fought campaign. I think it's still up in the air. I met Congressman Issa about 5 years ago. He sued one of my clients.
Hello.
Yeah. And
it was personal now.
It was personal. So we went to mediation and try to settle it. And honestly, he came in and he was threatening to throw my client in. He was a jerk. He was a complete jerk. I didn't like him. And I was like, I mean, I didn't really know. I mean, he was a congressman, but this guy said, this guy really is an arrogant jerk. And he wouldn't settle. You know, and it was kind of complicated, but I've only been sued for malpractice one time in my 36-year career as an attorney, and it was because of that case.
That's a good number.
Because of that case. And it was because, you know, it was a long story I don't want to get into, but I have a lot of negative feelings about Congress Nice, but I just realized I need to forget him. So when I heard that he was having a close race, I was like, finally, he getting justice. We're getting justice.
And he won.
I guess he's winning, yeah. I think they're still counting votes, but I was like, I'm over Trump and Clinton. I just want ISA to lose. I want justice. I didn't get it. God, send fire from heaven now. But I didn't get it. And then the Lord reminded me this morning, you need to forgive Daryl Issa. Why? I don't like him. I don't need forgiveness. He's worth $250 million. He's the richest man in Congress. You need me? No, you need to forgive him. See, that's where we live as men, right? It's a process. It's a process. And I think it's a process with our dads, too. Because I think if we really, for many men, the wound is so big that we push even the thought of our fathers out of our minds. So we think, oh, I've forgiven and moved on. But we're still walking around wounded. You know, we're bleeding. It's like when that little parrot bite that's bigger. Yeah. You don't want to bite the hand that feeds you, by the way. I'm going to get back at that parrot. She did to me. But, you know, we're bleeding and we don't even realize it. You know, we're blood everywhere. We don't even realize it. And we buried that. We buried that in the past. So, I don't want to reopen wounds, but I do want to open the area of forgiveness today. Right? I'll open it up. So, I just wanted you to exercise because I want to make sure you don't get parking tickets and blame Nick for it. I want your time. So we're just going to do a lecture size. And we're just going to take a minute. We're going to forgive our fathers. How's that? Yeah. You can forgive your dad. He's a tough guy. Just do it in your heart. You don't have to say anything.
Oh, yeah, you got to.
You don't have to have a list. You don't need a long list of all the things. And we. Yeah. 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 Seriously, I just want you to take. I want you to take like. I'm gonna give you 20 seconds. Give you a lot of time here.
Yeah.
But I want you to think of something that maybe you need to forgive your father for. Your earthly father. Maybe it's more than one thing, but I want you to think about at least one thing that you need to let go of. For some of you, it might be harder than others. And some of you may have a list that's so long, you don't even know where to start. But we're just going to focus on one or two things right now. So if you have that in mind, I want you guys to kind of just close your eyes right now. And just, I want you to picture yourselves just walking up to your dad. And saying, whose face, I forgive you. Forgive you for whatever it was you did. And I give up the right to judge you for what you did and for the wound that was inflicted on me, usually as a small boy. And I want you to know, Dad, that I love you. Because even if you were far from perfect, God loves you, and so I love you as well. And I just pray in my heart that I would just let go of whatever bitterness, whatever anger, whatever woundedness, whatever hurt I have held against you all these years. Maybe things I wasn't even aware of. God, you're bringing it to mind right now. The things that I've held on to that I need to let go of. Because it wasn't necessarily your fault that you weren't the father you needed to be for me. Because maybe your father wasn't the father he needed to be for you either. And I forgive you for being imperfect. I forgive you for your failures. And maybe, finally, I forgive myself. And I ask God you would forgive me for the sin of holding this in my heart for all these years and not letting it go. I ask, Lord, that you would just wash me clean right now. Even if the memory of the hurt doesn't disappear, but the effects of the hurt would, that my heart would be cleansed, that my attitudes would change, that my bitterness, my hurt would be, I would just let it go. I would just take it right now, and I would just lay it at the foot of the cross, and I would say, Lord, I don't want to carry the anger anymore, because it only hurts me and maybe those around me who are affected by my anger. And I give it to you now, Lord. I ask you to take it. And I ask you, Lord, to give me that new heart that you promised in the Bible. No longer a heart of stone. A hard heart, but a heart of flesh. With your love written on my heart. Transform me. Change me. And Lord, I just pray that every barrier, Abba Father, Daddy, every barrier that's kept me from receiving your love would be broken right now. And I just pray for breakthrough over each one of you men. Breakthrough as you are able to release forgiveness. Receive forgiveness. And receive His love. Let it just flow over you right now. I believe that the tangible presence of God is in this room now. And I think you can feel that love right now. He's there for you. And He's so excited, really, for you and your life and to see you move forward. It's always been His heart to heal your wounds. Always been His heart to see you receive love and to know who you really are as sons. So, receive that today. And I just bless you guys, each one of you. I love each of you. Awesome men. Exciting to see you guys all come together. Because the men of this church really are going to lead it into the next place that God wants it to be. You are the leaders. I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you, Joel.
You guys for having me.
It's a privilege to be